Last week, I was up in the mountains of Colorado, and one clear, cold night, I was out walking, and I was struck by the beauty of the starry hosts in the sky. And as I viewed this beautiful panorama of celestial bodies, my mind was transported back 2,000 years ago to the shepherds, who no doubt also looked up into the sky and saw these same stars as they were watching over their sheep by night. And I thought about the wise men, the magi, who made it their profession to study these stars, and no doubt knew more about the stars than anyone of their time. But we today know much more about the stars than even they. In our modern scientific age, we now know that this universe is much more vast and immense than the ancients could have ever comprehended. For example, traveling at the speed of light, that's 186,000 miles per second, it would take 100,000 years just to traverse our galaxy, the Milky Way. And this galaxy contains over 100 trillion stars. That's a one with 14 zeros behind it. And this is just our galaxy, the Milky Way. We now know that there are innumerable billions of galaxies. What an immense universe. This astronomical reality brings two responses from me. The first response is one of great awe at the vastness and immensity of it all. The universe's complexity and design attests to a designer who is even more immense and wonderful than that which he has created. But my second response to this astronomical reality is one of insignificance, of feeling very small. I mean, in comparison to the cosmos, even this world is simply a speck of galactic dust that is blowing through the desert of space. And you and I were just one of billions of minuscule microbes that cling to this speck. A real feeling of insignificance. But the message of Christmas and the message of our text from John chapter 1 is the exact contrary to this message of insignificance. It is the message that the God who created the galaxies is the God who loves you and loves me with a sacrificial love that would give himself for us personally. Oh, yes, for the whole world, but for you personally. That he would treasure your life so much that he would give his life for it. This is the great love that God has given for us. And this is the testimony of John chapter 1. It starts out saying, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the Devar," which in the Bible means God's powerful self-disclosure in creation, in revelation, in salvation. And John goes on to say that this Logos is a person. This powerful self-disclosure of God is God's own person who is with God, a plurality, and who is God, a unity. This person is the one who has made the universe. John says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." And he is the one who has even made those who would turn on him, who rebelled against him, that renegade race that John refers to as the cosmos, the world, humanity. This God, this creator, who thus is not created and in one sense thus outside of creation, yet entered into creation, time and space and matter. He entered into time in the fullness of time. God sent forth his Son. He entered into space in Bethlehem in Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. And he entered into matter. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became an embryo, a fetus, an infant, a human being. And why? All to save you and me. To save this cosmos, this renegade world. To save us, the objects of his love. As the angel announced to Joseph, "You shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." As the angel announced to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." As Paul so boldly proclaims, "Born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as his sons." And as the creed confesses, "Very God of very God, who for us men and our salvation came down from heaven and was made man." This is the initiative of God. This is the awesome love of God for us. But the question is, what is our response to that infinite love of God? John paints a not so pretty picture of the world's response. He says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." He was largely ignored, rejected, and even despised by those he created. You would have thought that there would have been the greatest welcoming coalition in the world. This is the greatest event in history, God coming to earth. But Caesar Augustus was too busy counting heads in his census to take notice. There was no room for God's arrival in the small inns of Bethlehem, the comparable Motel 6s of the day. And so he arrived in a barn. And the first time God's voice was heard through the cry of an infant, the only ones who listened were his peasant parents and a few scruffy outcast shepherds. But when the word got out that a new king was born, King Herod in paranoid fashion sought to destroy him. And that became the story of his life. Rejected by his hometown, by his nation, by his people, by the religious leaders who claimed to know God. Yes, as John says, the world did not recognize him. His own did not receive him. And then came the greatest irony of all history. The creator of the vast universe, the one who flung out the galaxies with his hand, was himself stripped, beaten, and those hands nailed to a morbid execution post. As the old line says, "He died upon a cross of wood, but made the hill on which it stood." Yet even that could not destroy God, nor could it destroy his love for us, which was powerfully demonstrated on the third day. And that is why we do not refuse or reject him, but we receive him by faith. As John says, "But to those who received him, who believed on his name, he has given the right to become the children of God, those born of God," which shows that even in our receiving him, our faith, that is God's work, His gift. Oh, what a giving, loving God we have. And so tonight, in the cold, crisp night of this St. Louis area, take a look up into the starry host and view the universe. And as you do so, know that there is only one thing that is bigger than this vast universe, and that is God, and that is His love. Because the love which all the universe could not contain was contained in that package delivered 2,000 years ago, a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The Word made flesh. Amen.